How many of you are just chronic forgetters? Thank you for your honesty. Yeah. All right. A couple more. Yeah. Like, it seems no matter what, no matter how many times you've heard something, no matter how many times you've been reminded, no matter how many times you set the reminder on your phone, you know, and you have Siri remind you of things, there's sticky notes everywhere, it doesn't matter. You still end up forgetting. I think several of you can identify with that. You know, it doesn't seem to matter what it's about or who reminds you. You find a way to still forget what you are supposed to remember. And I think at some point we all have been there, especially with how busy we are and how crammed our minds are with information and different activities and responsibilities. It is incredibly easy to forget. And unfortunately, it's easy to forget really important things, not just the little insignificant things. And that's why there's all those apps, you know, that we have available to us to try to alleviate that. But it still seems to be something that's hard for some of us to overcome. And forgetting and being distracted by different things and not remembering to do certain things or to focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on, that's by no means something that just, you know, that we struggle with alone. That's something that has always been a problem for people all the way back to the beginning. And remembering and being reminded of what's important, that's something that we all need to strive toward, especially when it comes to spiritual things, especially when it comes to remembering how good God is, when it comes to remembering how faithful He is. It's important for us to make sure that remembering that, focusing on that, is a priority. And that remembrance of God's faithfulness and His goodness, that unfortunately is one of the easiest things in the world to forget and to be distracted from. And we're not alone in that either. The focus of our message today, and this is not a series, this is just one message as we get ready for the next series, but the focus of this message is on remembering what's important, and the most important thing to remember is the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. That is more important to remember than anything in life. There's a lot of important things for us to remember. There's a lot of things we should remember and recall. But this is the supreme of all of that. How good God is, how faithful He is. Like we just sang, that never once does God leave us on our own. There will never be a time, not just in your life, but there will never be a time in all of eternity when we will be able to say to God, "Where were you? You left us. I was all alone, God." We'll never, ever be able to say that. He never will do that. He'll never leave us on our own. He'll never leave us alone. He'll never forsake us. He will never stop being present in our lives, providing what we need. He'll never stop being the one constant in all of the universe that never changes. He'll never stop being the constant source of faithfulness. And we need to remember that. And that's what God's people in the Old Testament needed to remember as well. When the people following Joshua, so Moses died and Joshua became the leader, and they were right there at the Promised Land. And when the people following Joshua arrived at the Jordan, which was a barrier between them and the Promised Land where they were to go, the Jordan was at flood stage, and the Jordan River floods annually. And it was at flood stage, which means it changed from a normal 100 feet in width to a mile-wide raging river. And so Israel's entrance into the Promised Land was completely blocked. But as soon as the priests dipped their feet in the river's edge, God stopped the flow of water, parted it, and the people crossed on dry ground, which would have been deja vu for them. Should have been. The Red Sea parting, you know, that just happened. And no doubt, everybody, I'm sure, was despairing and fearful. What are we going to do? Where's God? Where is he? Why has he let this happen? Never mind the fact that they had seen the Red Sea part. Aren't we just like Israel? We're just so much like them. God does all these things. He blesses, he provides, he does the miraculous, and we are amazed and we thank him for it and we praise God. Oh, God is so good. God is so great. And then a week goes by and we despair and we're hopeless. Where are you, God? We're just like them. But sure enough, God came through. He provided. They crossed over on dry ground. They enter the promised land. And that's the context for the main passage that I want to draw your attention to as we focus on remembering God's faithfulness. Just as they, the people of Israel, the 12 tribes, needed to remember God's faithfulness. Joshua 4, 1 through 9 is where I want to invite you to look at with me. Joshua 4, 1 through 9. And I'll be reading from the ESV. Joshua 4, 1 through 9. And here's what God's word says. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. In other words, something to remember, a memorial. When your children ask in time to come, so looking ahead, when they ask, hey, what's the deal with these stones? When your children ask you in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. So why these stones? Why did God command this to happen once they crossed over? Why did they need it? Well, because, like us, they were quick to forget. They were quick to forget how good God was. They were quick to forget his blessings and his provision. This was their track record already, the people of Israel. Before this happened, when Moses was still leading, they had come out of Egypt. They had been miraculously delivered. All the plagues happened. They had been spared. God kept his promise to them that all the afflictions and judgment on Egypt would not come to them, and it didn't. He promised to deliver them. He did. They were able to go through the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh and all of his armies defeated. And then they complained, though, about not having the same kind of food that they were used to and not having enough water when they wanted it, as if God couldn't provide. And they said, why have you brought us out here to kill us? Oh, we should just go back to Egypt. God came through. He provided. God calls Moses up to the mountain to give him his laws for the people. And just within a short amount of time, a matter of days, they say, we don't know what's happened to Moses, and apparently God has deserted us, so let's make new gods. Aren't we just like Israel? So, yeah, the people of Israel showed how easy it was for them to forget all the blessings and goodness and faithfulness of God. And so God, in his grace and his mercy, provided them a physical thing to jog their memory that they could always refer back to and say, oh yeah, God came through in this really big way. So that means as I go forward and as I face the unknown ahead of me, as we start to go through this land and conquer these different territories, and as we face what is ahead of us that we don't know about yet, we can remember back to these stones when God came through, and we can remember how faithful he was, which should help us to trust that he's going to continue to be faithful. That's what God did. That's why they needed this. And the reason I've said a couple times, aren't we just like Israel? It's because I want you to see that like them, we need to remember too. Because we are so prone to forget how good God is, all that he's done for us. We are so prone to despair as we face the unknown ahead. And that unknown could be as early as, you know, like what's tomorrow or what's ahead in a year or 5 years. Whatever the unknown is and whatever that represents, naturally we fear it. Naturally, the unknown and the unplanned produce anxiety in all of us. Some of us are more susceptible to that than others, but we're all able to feel anxious and unsettled and worried, especially as it relates to what we don't know about. And what we don't know about is a lot, right? There's a lot we don't know. There's very little that we can control, very little that we can make sure goes according to plan and fits with our nice little box and comfort area. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot that we can't predict and that we can't control. And there's a lot that happens in our life. There's a lot that occupies our attention. There's a lot of things that we allow to live rent-free in our heads, in our hearts. There's a lot that we allow to rob us of joy and peace and trust and confidence in God. Some of the greatest hindrances to our spiritual growth are our everyday distractions. Little things that cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus and focus on our very personal concerns. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's not always the big things that cause the problem. It's the little things, those little ankle biters of worry and afflictions, the everyday mundane things, the everyday stresses that tend to mount up and build up and distract us away from our focus on God and his faithfulness and his goodness. Or maybe it's our very first world, very American pursuit of convenience and comfort. How many times do you start the day with good intentions? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be focused on him and how faithful and good he is. I'm going to let that drown out my anxieties and my stresses and my worry. And you start off good at 7 a.m. But by 8 a.m., you're already falling. You know, you start off really well, and soon, though, you find yourself absolutely bombarded with information coming in on your Twitter feed or your Facebook stream or your news app, or you're bombarded with circumstances that mount up around you, and it clutters your mind, fuels your negative thoughts and emotions. And it always ends up the same way. It always results in being distracted from and forgetful of the constant goodness and faithfulness of God. You know what I'm talking about, right? You relate to this, right? This isn't just me, is it? No? Okay, good. We're in the same company then. It's what happens to all of us. I need to focus on God more. I need to remember his faithfulness more. I'm going to do it. We do it for a little while, and then all those distractions come back. That's why I think we, like Israel, need practical, physical ways of reminding ourselves about the never-changing, never-failing, never-found-anywhere-else faithfulness and goodness of our God. He never, ever changes. He never fails. And we will never find a better source of goodness and grace than we will find in God. No matter how reliable your loved ones are in your life, no matter how trusted your friends are around you, no one is going to be able to compare to the constancy of God in your life. And we need to find ways and look for ways to remind ourselves, to keep ourselves anchored to that reality, the faithfulness and grace and goodness of God in our lives. New Year's is coming. It's right around the corner. And maybe you don't do resolutions. Maybe you do, but a lot of people do. That's a constant annual tradition, making New Year's resolutions. And whether you make them or not, one resolution that we should all make every single day is to do what Asaph wrote in Psalm 77. Let me read to you verses 11 and 12 from Psalm 77. He said this, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord, the works of God, the acts of God. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." Ponder, meditate. That's not just this passing thought. That's not just, you know, that I'll have this thought kind of on a whim and it'll leave, it'll dissipate, you know, it kind of comes in and goes. No, it's active, intentional, concentrated focus. It's deliberate. It's actually committing to focus your mind and your energy and your attention. Ponder. It's a very very active, willful thing. Meditate. It's not just a flippant, quick thought. It's I'm going to sit with this for a while. I'm going to actually allow my mind to soak up the thing that I'm meditating on. And so what he's saying here in the psalm is, I'm going to determine to remember what you've done, God. All that you've done in the past, I'm going to determine to focus my mind and my energy and my attention on that. I'm going to ponder. I'm going to sit with. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to soak up all that you've done for me in the past. All of your past deeds. All of your works, your faithfulness, your track record, God, I'm going to focus on that and I'm going to allow that to penetrate my thoughts and seep down into my heart. That's what he's saying. He's resolved to do that. I will remember. I will ponder. I will meditate on those things. And that's a resolution that we all should make because we're so prone to forget. Why so much emphasis on considering what God has already done? Why so much emphasis here in this psalm and also in the earlier passage, in Joshua? Why so much emphasis on the past work of God? Because of this fact. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past will help us to trust Him with the future. That's why. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past will help us to trust Him with the future. Why? Because God can't change. And He can't lie. God can't change. And He can't lie. So, if He kept His past promises, which He did, that means He will absolutely, guaranteed, He will keep all of His promises for the future. Are you with me? This is a very logical thing. if God can't change, and he can't, and if he can't lie, which he can't, if he did either of those things, he would immediately cease to be God. You with me? Can't change, can't lie. So if he made promises in the past, and he can't lie, it means he's going to have to keep them. And if he can't change, he's going to be the only one that can keep those promises. And all of that is true. All of the promises he made in the past, he kept, which is why we focus on the past. We look to the past. We read scripture. We remember what's been done to all the people that we read about. We look at their stories and their lives, and we see time after time after time the way God provided, the way he delivered, the way he was faithful, the way he kept his promises. And we look at that and we see this great track record of faithfulness and promise keeping. And we look then at God and we say, okay, you can't change ever and you can't lie. So if you kept all of those thousands of promises and you're the same God you are today as you were then, that means I can trust you. It means I can rely on you. It means I can depend on you. And you're going to be just as faithful to me today as you were to all those people back then. Because he did, in the past tense, because he did all he said he would do, we can believe that he will do what he says he's still going to do. Amen? That's why we remember. That's why we look back. To find confidence and trust and rest in the present and hope and faith for the future. It all ties together. But remembering God's faithfulness, we need to make sure that we use that as our motivation for hoping in the future and for believing that he's going to come through in the future. The past points to the future. Here's what God's word says about the future promises that God has made and what he will keep and what he's going to do. It's not just what he's done, that's important, but it's also about what he's going to do. And let me just give you a couple passages that I think will really, it should light the fire in your heart and make you very excited about what is in store. And it should fuel your faith in who God is and what he's going to do. These passages are tremendous. First, Isaiah 43:19 says this. Isaiah 43:19. God speaking directly. Behold, I am doing a new thing. See, he's not just the God who worked in the past. He's the God of the new as well. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isn't that beautiful? Many times we find ourselves in a wilderness, so to speak. We find ourselves in a wilderness experience. We're going through life and we enter a very dry period of time. We go through life and something happens, situations arise, circumstances change, and we find ourselves very, very dry, hopeless, helpless, despairing. You've been there, and if you're not there right now, great, but chances are you'll go through another time like that at some point in your life. That's what we do in this life. We go through wilderness seasons and places in life that are just dry and arid and that are wilderness experiences. There's times in your life where your heart and your soul just seem thirsty. Well, God's promise to you, to me, to all of us, is that when we find ourselves in a place of wilderness in our life, whether that's spiritual, physical, emotional, God's promise is that he is the one that can and will make a way in the wilderness through it, and that he can and will make rivers spring up in the desert. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. That's his promise. Here's another passage, and I absolutely, I love this passage. I go back to this a lot, and I would encourage you to really make this one of these passages that in the new year you keep going back to, put it up somewhere, frame it somewhere, memorize it, know it, recall it to your mind, that this is what's in store, this is what's ahead, this is a promised reality. It is just as sure as any event that's already happened that's verifiable history. This is just as true, just as part of a reality. It's just that we haven't caught up to it yet, but it's a done deal. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And if this doesn't give you hope, if this doesn't fuel your faith, if this doesn't motivate your present, then I don't know what will. Revelation 21, 1 through 5, the Apostle John writing down what he saw, what Jesus himself revealed to him, he says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." I have to be honest, I'm a little sad about that. But you know what? It'll be okay. If God does it, it's good. And it won't be sad for me when I'm in this reality. But right now, it's a little sad. But, "And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people.'" And don't miss this part. "God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Amen. This is what's ahead for you, Christian. If you are in Christ, this is your promised reality. It's what's going to happen and what you are going to be able to partake of. So what about you? How many ways has God kept his promises to you personally? How many times has he shown you personally, directly, how trustworthy and true he is? How many times did you not know where the money was going to come for that bill, for that expense that you didn't see coming, that was unexpected? The car that broke down, the roof that started leaking, the water heater that just blew up, the hospital visit that you suddenly find yourself or your loved one having to make, the job that you thought was going to be there as long as you needed it, suddenly it's not there anymore. The relationship that you had put all your trust in and all your confidence in and you were depending on for your fulfillment and your satisfaction, and you drew all of your joy from that relationship, and then suddenly that relationship is no more and your world falls in. How many ways in your life has God shown up? Healed your broken heart, healed you physically, provided the funds that you needed, blessing after blessing, evidence after evidence of his goodness and graciousness and faithfulness and greatness and the fact that he alone never changes and never fails. How many times, church, has he shown up in that way? How many things can you count? How many times and examples of his faithfulness can you refer to in your life? Thousands, right? Thousands upon thousands of times and ways. What stories could your stones tell about God's faithfulness in your life? Well, I want to provide you today with a small way to continually remember God's faithfulness and goodness this year. We're about ready to start a new year. And I want to give you a physical means of recalling to your mind all year long how faithful and good God is. So that you are going to be able to, at the end of the year, look back and say, yes, never once did I ever walk alone. Never once, God, did you leave me on my own. Never once did I have to despair and wonder where you were. In the back, as you came in, you probably saw it. And if you didn't see it, you can see it right now. Everybody look back. Everybody look back. See the big table there with all those jars? So on the table, there's mason jars there. They don't have moonshine in them. They didn't have moonshine in them. On the jars, there's a label that says, "We Remember." And it has our main passage from today's message, Joshua 4, 1 through 9. I want to encourage each family or each individual, if it's just you, if you're not here as a family, each family or each individual, please take one. And there's no pressure. I'm not going to try to make you feel bad if you don't. But I'm pretty sure there's enough for each family and each individual, if you're not here as a family, to take that. And what I want to encourage you to do is to take those jars and to start January 1 to every day put either a little slip of paper that you write some way that God has been faithful, some promise that he has kept, some way that he's delivered and shown up for you, one way that you can know that God has been faithful and he's kept his promise, and just you write that on a little piece of paper and you slip it in your jar. Or if you want, get a little stone and with a Sharpie write on the stone so you actually have a stone. It would fit in there. However you want to do that. But some way of actually writing a specific example of God's faithfulness and his goodness and his promises kept for you in your life. And store it in that jar and add to it every single day, every week, throughout the whole year. And my guess is that you're going to have to get a second jar and a third maybe. But the point is that at the end of 2025, if God spares your life and you see the end of 2025, you'll be able to hold those jars up and say, yes, God was faithful. And so I encourage you to do that. Please, please do that. I think it will serve to be a wonderful reminder and as an anchor for your faith in the coming year. Now, with all that being said, the ultimate example of God's faithfulness and his greatest promise kept is, of course, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's his ultimate promise kept. If he did nothing else for us for all of eternity, that would be enough where we could say, yes, God is faithful. God keeps his promises. It's the ultimate example of it. And that's how we're going to end our time today, remembering the cross, remembering the faithfulness of God, remembering his promises kept. There's no greater evidence than the cross of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that no matter what comes our way, you are faithful. You are good. You keep your promises. Never one time will we have to wonder if you are faithful, if you're going to keep your promises. Never one time will we have to wonder where you are. You're always going to be there. You're always going to provide everything we need. You're always going to keep your promises. Everyone else might leave us and forsake us and let us down. You never will. You have kept your promises all through history. You have a spotless, perfect track record of faithfulness. And the ultimate example of that is the giving of your Son for our salvation. Your Son on the cross was the ultimate promise kept. And so above all things, above all the other examples of your promises kept, and above all the other evidences of your faithfulness, that is what we remember now. That's what we turn our attention to. That's what we focus on. The sacrifice, the atonement of your Son for our salvation. Thank you. Truly, everything, all your promises are yes and amen in Him. So please focus our minds, focus our hearts on the incredible work of your Son on our behalf on the cross. And may we leave here with greater gratitude and greater faith as we go forward in a brand new year. Pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.